Good morning, Prayer Faith. How are we doing this morning? All right, fantastic. Man, how many know we're going through some unknown times? Okay. We are talking today about faithful through the unknown, and we have things coming up in this next week and that have gone on last week and the week before, and we just don't know what that means for us. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to remain faithful, do we not? All right, this day may be a little interactive with you guys, so I may need some responses back from you, because I need to know where you guys think and stand on some of this stuff. But how many know today that our faith identifies us as who we are? Do you know that? Our faith also will guide us in where we need to go. Amen? And our faith also will lead us on what we need to do and not do. This is how we fight our battles. And we go to the word of the Lord, not to our Facebook friends and these various things. And Eric spoke last week and he said, please don't let what we are as far as our politics model or identify us as who we are, because we are Christ followers. We are children of the Most High God. Amen? And I'm proud to be a child of the Most High God today, above anything else that you can label me as. A bald guy, a whatever, a father, a twin, a son, a brother, whatever. I am a child of the Most High God, and I'm thankful for that. As we go into today, would you guys just keep my wife, my beautiful wife, in your thoughts and prayers? Her father passed away a week ago. She is up in New York right now, and they had his service yesterday. And she is just thankful to have connected with him over the last couple years, her biological father, and had a wonderful relationship with that family, and now has newfound family. And it's amazing. She just loves it, and they love her. And so just keep her in your thoughts and prayers as she's up there finishing up that today. She won't be watching us on service because she's going to church up there with them, and I was very excited for that. So she's thankful for that. But if you would, just keep my wife in your prayers, please. So, going into the unknown. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 1. And as you're turning to James chapter 1, we want to remind ourselves of a couple things. That God needs us. He needs us today more than ever. He needs us to fight His battle. And He needs us to fight the enemy and to stand up to the enemy. Your brothers and your sisters, they need you. Your brothers and sisters in Christ need you, and we can be swayed by many different things. And it's important that if we're going to put something out there, we better line it up with God's Word. Amen? If we want to say this is the truth, it better line up with the truth. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will let us rejoice today, being children of the Most High God. I'm so excited about that, and I thought, unknown, who cares? Who cares? I'm a child of the Most High God, and He knows what He's got going on, and He knows what's going to happen, and He has me in the palm of His hand. And how do I know that? Because He formed me, and He planned me before I was in my mother's womb. And I am so thankful for a God that loves me so much that He planned for me and each and every one of you to be here, regardless of circumstances and situation, that we are here by His planning and His perfect plan, by the way. Not a plan with mistakes like ours can be, but His perfect plan. As you're turning there and getting prepared for that, I want to read something out of 2 Timothy. And I thought, we're in volatile times. As Christ followers, we have to be very careful in what we say and what we do, and our actions and our walk and our word, they have to line up. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 and a half, and verse 19 through 26. You don't have to follow necessarily. I'd rather you just listen to what I'm reading here. And it says, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he's reminding him. He said, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to whom? To God. Be diligent to prove, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings. At this time, it's important that we heed these words of the Lord, or from Paul to Timothy, but in the Lord's word. For they will increase to more ungodliness, We don't need more of that. We've got enough on its own, let alone us opening our mouths and leading into these things. And it says, and their message will spread like cancer. And then moving on to verse 19, and it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Man, I am so thankful that there is a solid foundation based on God. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone whose names the name of Christ depart from sin. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. How many want to be useful for the master? I know I do. I want to be useful for the master. He is depending and relying on me and you to be useful for his kingdom work, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now listen to this, verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Whew, we can get in those this day and age, can we not? I don't care where we stand, we can get into foolish disputes. In ignorant disputes, it says. I'm just reading the word. Knowing that they what? They generate strife for others. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Amen? Boy, that was low. Amen? See, we have to believe in the Word of God. We can't pick and choose what fits our plan. We have to listen to what He says is His Word. And this is talking about people that were saying things about the church, and they were going on a different path. And that's why Paul was writing to Timothy about this stuff. But it's still applicable. Guys, let's not worry about these foolish and ignorant disputes. Let us shun profane and idle babblings. These things only cause strife. And in this world, it says we are to be peaceful. Blessed is a peacemaker. Right here, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be what? Holy. Whew. It doesn't say make some effort, make a little effort. It says make every effort. And we have to put forth just a little more effort, I think, in this day and age to be Christ-like and holy. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Paul did this, it wasn't for his benefit. It wasn't for his benefit. What did he say? This I do for the gospel's sake. I became weak to the weak. I became all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, we're in James chapter 1. I can get off that, but I think it's very important, church, that we stay focused and we stay grounded. Man, when we're glued in front of our TV and we see all this stuff going on, we can formulate some very, very strong opinions. And for that reason alone, I do not watch any news. I haven't watched news in a couple months. I'll let someone else tell me what's going on, and if I want to listen, I can choose to listen or not. I do not watch the news. I haven't watched the news in months, many, many months. And if I want to know what's happening in the weather, I either go out and find out it's raining, better take an umbrella, or it's snowing, or whatever, or someone can tell me the weather. And I don't care about sports. So that pretty much lines it up. So James chapter 1 is where we'll start today. And by the way, the message title I said was Faithful Through the Unknown. And this encompasses so many different things. We don't know what's going on in our own life, in our health, in our jobs, in our relationships, whatever it is. We don't always know what's going on. But if you want to read Scripture to help you and guide you through the unknown, read the entirety of the book of James. It is a powerful book. It has so many other things. Profiting from trials, perspective of rich and poor, loving God under trials, qualities needed in trials. Oh, good grief. Okay. Loving God under trials. But then it says, here's the qualities, by the way. You're going to go through them. And when you go through them, have these qualities. It'll make you a better person coming out the other end of that trial. Hearing plus doing. We'll get to that in a minute. Favoritism, faith in works, the untamable tongue. It doesn't just say the tongue. God knows exactly what that tongue is, the untamable tongue. Chapter 3 for some of you if you need help with that one. Heavenly and demonic wisdom, there is both. Heavenly and demonic wisdom. Pride and strife, humility, judging, boasting, patience, perseverance, praying, singing, hurting, healing, confession, sin. Man. All that knowledge and wisdom packed in 5 chapters, the book of James. Read it. It is a powerful, powerful book to help you deal with life and people. And then when you're done, read the rest of the Bible and it'll help you with that as well. But James packs it in there. Now, James chapter 1, verse 21 is where we'll start, at the backside of chapter 1. And it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I love it. I want my soul saved. So this is pretty simple. Therefore, lay aside all the filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and he walks away from the mirror. And then what happens? He forgets what kind of man he really is. And we do that so many times. Our mirror is church and we walk away from it. And the rest of the week we forget who and what we are. Oh, dang it, I was supposed to be a child of God, but I walked away from the mirror, quit looking at myself, and I didn't know. That's because I was just a hearer of the word. You know, well, I listened to it on the radio, that's great. I listened to it on TV, that's great. I listened to it in church, that's great. But if you're not living it out, that's when and where you forget who and what you are. If you're not living it out in your day-to-day activities, every day, renewing of the mind daily, we walk away and we forget. I heard it. I'll hear it again next Sunday. That's not enough. The doing, the living, the walking, the walk, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, those are the things that connect us to our faith. Now it says we forget who we are, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. By the way, it says he will be blessed in what he does. God's word also reminds us, do not grow weary while doing good, does it not? For in due time we will be rewarded. Now we'll talk about reward here in just a minute. And it says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Ooh, I don't want my religion to be useless. Now we have to be careful not to just be religious in individuals. Oh, yes, I'm very religious. I do this, this, this. Great. How does your day-to-day walk line up with those things? That tells us who we really are. And this is his religion is useless. Verse 27 of James chapter 1 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's all. That's all we got to do. That's a pretty tall order to remain unspotted in this day and age. And part of the problem is it's hard to remain unspotted. Why? Because people are picking up mud and they're flinging it at you. And they're flinging it at you. And they're flinging it at you. And they want to call you the enemy because you have a differing view or opinion. Or because you're simply a Christ follower and they're not. And they've had a run-in with religion somewhere in their life. Or a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend did. And by the time it got to them, I'm sure that real story was pretty diluted. But we're to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I don't know about you all, but I do not want to hide in a bubble. So can't go outside of that thing. If we don't go outside of our four walls, we'll never meet the unsaved. We'll never see the widows and the orphans. We'll never get to meet them if we stay inside of our four walls called religion. Our religion calls us to go out. Go ye therefore into all the nations, making disciples and baptizing them. Just like we baptized last week. We had a wonderful baptism last week. I'm so thankful for that, Aiden, when we baptized you. You know, we read that scripture. Go into all the world, making disciples. It doesn't tell us to stay here at Prayer Faith. It doesn't tell us we can't go across the street and talk to the Buddhist. Why, they're the enemy, for God's sakes. The Bible also says, love your enemy. Eric and I have talked to them many times. Thank you for watching out over our church and calling us when the burglar alarm goes off. Why does it keep going off? Because people keep stealing from us. You know? But they're wonderful people. They're kind people. And I've discovered over the last couple of weeks through some different things, when you talk to people you wouldn't normally talk to and you get to know them and you get to see them and you get to hear a little bit about their life, all of a sudden they're not really the jerks you thought they were. And I'm not saying that I thought everyone was jerks. I don't mean that. I'm just saying that a lot of times that's how we look at people and we say, oh, they're a jerk. But we learn a little deeper insight, if nothing else, why they are a jerk if they are. Maybe they just need some more love and compassion. But we have to be careful that we don't just come and listen and then go the rest of the week and don't do anything. That we don't pass on those things. So we're told we've got to read the word or hear the word. But then what we have to do is go out and do the word. Sounds simple, Adam. When are you getting to the being faithful part? Well, that kind of is. So the first thing we have to look at is we have to have faith. We have to maintain our faith and have faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we were right around there, dancing all around it last week. And keep James right there because we're coming back to it. You don't even have to go to Hebrews if you want. But in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. There's no pleasing Him without faith. First thing we've got to put on the agenda, have faith. He who comes to God must believe He is, it goes on to say, and that's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We read a couple weeks ago about our reward as well, that we have to remain faithful to receive our reward. Now, it doesn't say He's a rewarder of those that half-heartedly seek Him. He is a rewarder of those that sometimes seek Him. It says He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we have to have our faith. But if we do nothing with that faith that we possess, we're not being faithful. And it sounds very close and very similar. And at work, we're reading a book, and it's one word that will change your life. And it says you've got these areas of your life, emotional, physical, spiritual, financial, relationship, these different areas. And it tells you, find the one word that you can assign to that, to yourself, that you can focus on for the rest of the year. because we all set these goals. And 80-some percent, it varies depending on what thing you read, 87% say we set these New Year's resolutions, we set these goals, and we never achieve them. But this says focus on the one word. Share it with a group of people. Put it down there. And then at work, we put this thing together that had different words on it. And someone had put faith. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. My word is faithful. Because faith to me is something you possess. I possess some faith. Great. Here's some faith right here. Let me just put that in my pocket. I've got faith. Matter of fact, I put some faith in my pocket the other day and forgot about it. Faith was a $20 bill. And I don't know how many days, weeks it was later when I put on those pants. I'm like, hey, I got some faith in there. And that's what happens. We take our faith, we put it in our pocket. It's just something we have. I had 20 bucks. I didn't know it. I got some faith right here. I may forget about it during the week. And the difference to me was faith is something you have to have. You start there. Without faith, it is impossible, not as difficult, it is impossible to please God. So my word was faithful. I want to be faithful in the things that I do. I want to be faithful to my wife and to my family. I want to be faithful to my church. I want to be faithful in my job and the job I do. I want to be faithful in my finances. And I thought faithful was something that was an action to me. And it's something that I strive to be. Not just something I have, but something that I am. And so I've got that word spread around a couple different places. But you have to have faith to be faithful, to be full of that faith. But this right here tells us you cannot be just a hearer of the word. A hearer of the word can have faith. You must be a doer of the word. You must be faithful with what was entrusted to you and what you have learned. And that means we have to put it into action. We have to do something with that. Being faithful through the unknown means we've got to be doing something and not just having and possessing something. If I don't check my pockets today when I get home, I'll have this faith and it'll just be stuck there forever, unused. Oh, my faith, it's unblemished, it's perfect, ready for use. But I want to be faithful with what I have. I want to know that I have it and be prepared to use that at any time. When there's a need, you know, being faithful also knows that if I'm a hearer of the word, then I know that I need to look for opportunities to help others. I have to look for opportunities to exert some effort in living in peace with everyone. I have to look for the unloved. Why? So that I can love them. One of the young ladies' word was hope. And she said, I want to be the reflection of hope. And I thought, how powerful is that? We don't want to just walk around. I mentioned a couple weeks ago about having that label here that says Christian, Christ follower. And then it peels off and you say, uh-oh, I better get a new name tag. This one is really starting to wear thin and people can't tell who I am anymore. And that's what happens. We have to renew and refresh ourselves. And that's why I said at the beginning, your brothers and your sisters, they need you. Why? So that you can help refresh and renew them and remind them that their brothers and sisters need them and that you need them as well. Now in James chapter 2, this is where we get into the bigger part of being faithful. James chapter 2, verse 14. And we're going to read 14 through the end here. And it's dealing with faith without works. And it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith alone save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And by dead, it means just unuseful. Okay? You can still have faith. Just because I didn't bring it out and use it doesn't mean it's not still there. It's still there. It's just dead. It's of no use right there. You know, and we read that earlier saying it is useless. I thought, man, I don't want to be useless when we're talking about God and the things that He has for us. Don't label me useless. We all want to be useful for His kingdom work. If it does not have works, faith alone is dead. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called to the friend of God. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. I remember reading that early on when I got the prayer of faith. And Austin was little. He was a baby then. Spencer wasn't a baby by any means, but he was much younger then. No facial hair. And I thought, okay, well, there's Abraham going up with his son. And I thought, there's no way. I pictured an altar right here. And I thought, I couldn't do it. I'm just going to be real. I couldn't do it. Adam, I need you to. Yeah, it's not happening, God. I'm sorry. Call me what you want. You're telling me to go here. I'm the guy going the other way, Jonah. And I just thought, I can't do it. If you were to call me to do that. Thank God he didn't call on me and he called on Abraham. And Abraham did it. And I thought, you know, was not Abraham our father justified by works? He had his faith in God, but he did the works. Jesus, or God told him to do this, and he went to do it. And then at the last moment, God said, no. You've proven that not only did you have faith, but you were willing to do what I asked you in that action, and you were faithful to me. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. A man is justified when they have faith and works together. Verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now God is calling us, no matter what we face and no matter what is ahead of us, there's things that every one of us is probably going to face before our life is over that we have no idea it's coming. But we have to prepare for it. Captivity, man, I'm telling you, I just so love what we read a couple weeks ago about the young men going through the furnace. Do you think they planned on captivity in their younger days? And they were already young men. But do you think when they were younger, they thought, hey, we're going to be in captivity? And Daniel and the things that he did. James tells us these things have to go together. You see, you can't just have faith when it's convenient. You can't just have faith and show it when you want. Hang on, someone's crying. Hey, got a little faith for you. Here you go. Are you searching out someone that needs that? He knows that they don't go together automatically. Just because you hear doesn't mean that you're going to go out and do. So he said, I've got to tell them, by the way, don't be doers of the word. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. He had to give instruction. He had to educate the readers and the listeners. Likewise, having faith and being faithful don't automatically go hand in hand. Well, we're all in church. Yeah, I get it. There's so many different churches that believe different things. They say, well, you don't have to have that. Pastor Eric and I try to preach biblical messages. And they're hard to take sometimes. They're hard to do sometimes. But man, if it's in here, we have a job to convey that to y'all. Even when it's not convenient for you, I pretty much guarantee it's never convenient for us to have the hard messages that apply to everyone or most or whatever. And this certainly isn't directed at anyone. This is directed at our day and age. You notice these last couple weeks we're talking about faith and faithful and faithfulness. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, faithlessness, being faithless. But his word says, even if you are faithless, he is faithful to you because he cannot deny himself. Faith, having faith and being faithful do not automatically go together. Faith and works don't happen automatically. We have to live out our faith no matter what. Daniel and Abraham, they had faith, but they had to live it out regardless of how difficult that was. You saw my answer. I need you to take your son, put him up here on this little fire, sacrifice him. Yeah, not happening. Uh-oh, I struggle on that. Still do. But we have to live out our faith. Noah. Man, can you imagine that? It helps having the movie Evan Almighty for us to understand all the people that mocked him for that. Could you imagine Noah, what he was going through building that big ark? But I really, again, as I mentioned before, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I think about these people not knowing what's coming. You know, Jan, Adonijah, Nikki, any of you guys, Shalene, whoever, any of you guys. Do you know what's coming down the road? Not necessarily. You know some things. But the three in the furnace, what I loved about them was the thing that I just have tried to put into daily practice to say what they said. And imagine, they're going to throw you in the furnace. Guys that were throwing them in the furnace died because it was so hot. And what did they say? My God is able. In church, we have to know that our God is able. He is able to do anything. But we have to be prepared to respond like those three young men did. But even if. That's right, got to wake up. You hit it? But even if. Even if God does not do what he's able to do, I still will not serve this God and I still will not leave him. I will remain faithful to him, even through the unknown. And I think what a powerful, probably often overlooked statement in the Bible. We know the three guys. We know they went through the furnace and they came out. Hey, I saw a vision of a fourth guy in there. We know that. Hey, there was no smoke on him. We know that. Great. Did we miss the part where they said, my God is able, but even if he doesn't, boom. And that should be the faith statement that we live by. My God is able. But even if he doesn't,
I will remain faithful to you through the unknown. God, I know you can deliver me from this disease. God, I know you can deliver me out of this relationship issue. God, I know you can deliver me out of this addiction. God, I know you can deliver my parents, my children, my friends, my coworkers, my whatever. But even if you don't, I will remain faithful to you. And I want to close with this. It's very simple. John 15:4 says this. Abide in me, and I in you. In church, it's as simple as that when we face the unknown, when we face the known, when we face day-to-day activities. Abide in me, and I in you. As you face the known or unknown, be faithful to the God that is faithful to you. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask you today to help grow our faith. Not just that we possess faith, but that we live out our faith. God, that you can do all things, but even if you do not do what we desire, will we remain faithful to you through those things? God, help us to abide in you, and we know that you will abide in us. And this upcoming week, Lord, help us to heed the words out of 2 Timothy. Be very careful in the things that we do and the things that we say to others. Be very careful of ultimatums we give them to like it or leave us. In Jesus' name, amen.